Welcome everyone that are here. Awesome. State of the City is in January. What we do usually in these retreats, which is today, is our almost winter Design Commission retreat. We dialed it down to 2 hours just because it's just to keep it brief. I think it's in the holidays, and I also knew a couple people weren't able to attend. Commissioner Tina, hi Tina. Though I'll give her the summary notes. She had a conflict, so she may be able to show up. Commissioner Sam has COVID and does not feel well. We're going to hybrid him in. He said, you don't want to see me. So I said, okay. Kara is out sick. Art is on vacation. I do hope to see Hillary later. It's her cheesecake that landed here today. Tanya and Megan should be landing any moment. It's their work from home days, so hopefully they'll come in and be here soon. But I think we should get started. It's 2 hours. Hopefully we'll be wrapped by 4:30. So thank you for coming. I probably should have started with my own introduction, and I'll go around the room so we could do that for the audio. Tim Herron, Bureau Development Services. I'll hand it to Joe.
Commissioner Joe Swank.
Stacey Monroe, BDS. Zary Santner, Commissioner.
Jessica Molinar, Commissioner.
Don Vallister, ex-commissioner.
Emeritus.
Thank you.
Ben Nielsen, BDS.
Grace Jeffries, BDS.
Brian McCarter, Commissioner.
Great, awesome. I hope to see a couple cameo appearances from Commissioner Gwen Milius, former chair in the 2000s, as well as former Commissioner Emeritus Tim Eddy, who will be showing up. I also reached out to Commissioner Wark, but he's on vacation. And after that, it just got a little too busy, and how big and how much or how many are going to be coming, we'll see. I'll walk through the PowerPoint, but more or less the critical material is in front of you. There's an agenda. It's a couple pages. Really, the face page is what matters most. That's kind of my time, my sense of time on these items. We don't have to be too strict to it. The next little package of stuff are essentially the Design Excellence Awards. At some point, we should have a conversation about who came this year, and not many, and then who we might nominate as a Design Excellence Award for 2023. And this last sheet, though I did try and print it as much as I could, this is basically anything and all we did. As a commission, briefings, DARs, type 3 hearings. On the back, there's a little more information about staff level reviews and so on and so forth. So you're happy to peruse that. But I think for now, what I'll do is we kind of just did our welcome and settle in. I appreciate you guys all being here. It's one of the reasons why we are a little light. Is because I think not just the vacations, but also because BDS is going through a layoff process. And so we will lose 4 members of our team. And so that's something that can't not be avoided moving forward. I don't want to dominate the retreat in that way, but it is really important. We will be a smaller team in January. So I think it's important that you all know that. Just because it's not something I could not say out loud. So, that said.
So, Tim, I have a question.
Please.
Could you explain, this is for the sake of public who may listen to this, mm-hmm. explain why these layoffs are happening?
Thanks, Commissioner. That's a more better way to explain it. BDS is a permit fee-based revenue bureau. We are not taking in permit revenue, and that ties directly to staffing. And so this round of layoffs is 56 across the Bureau of Development Services. And as I mentioned, there's 4 from our team member relative to our size of 10 team members, including Kara. 9 of our staff that do the actual land use reviews, and it's those 4 positions that are being cut. So we're in the midst of how that plays out. There's bumping rights and kind of union related. And some people know more than others in terms of what the impact will be. But we know we will be 4 less people. So, thanks.
Well, I don't want to dwell on this either, but this is very, very sad for the city. because I think at least in my time working here with you all for 6 years, I really come to understand how talented and competent the staff who review these permits are. And it's a great loss for the city to lose such capable people. And I wanted to find out if the city's situation or BDS's situation, financial situation, improves, let's say, in a year, would these staff that after the bumping rights might lose their job, would they be given an opportunity to come back?
I don't know all the details of how that works. In the past, when we've done this, there are recall opportunities.
For 2 years.
For 2 years, thank you.
Okay. But, you know, when we go into a new bureau, this new single permit authority, we're not sure if classifications are going to be the same. There's a lot of unknowns.
I see.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that would work.
Yes.
We would expect it would be the same, but we just don't know.
I would echo what Zeri said. I remember back in our retreats I had in a private sector firm I worked with for 36 years, and one of the biggest topics was talent retention. You know, if you give people 5-6 years of great, great in-house training, and then they walk out the door, you're starting over to retrain everything somebody new to try to come in. So it's this loss of talent that is just really... Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it's suffice to say it's troubling to lose that talent.
I just want to say we probably will not see people who will be leaving, losing their job, but please extend our gratitude.
Yeah,
to
thank
them.
You.
Because they serve the city well, and they really help us understand the codes, the guidelines, and made our jobs so much easier. So all we had to do is spend time.
Thank you.
Hats off to them. And this is a terrible time of the year to be given a pink slip.
Yeah.
So.
Are there any talks at any level regarding the funding streams for BDS and tying those exclusively to economic cycles, which actually just exacerbate those economic cycles by delaying permits even longer and other things?
Yep. Yep. I think some of the conversations that, and we had this happened in 2009 when the Bureau cut back at 50%, where on the other side of that push, we couldn't keep up with the work. We couldn't hire back to the very point about the talent pool. And what happened in that cycle was so much time had gone by, people moved on. They weren't waiting for a callback, you know? And I think we're moving into another kind of uncertain window. And so I know it's been said out loud with our new form of government and how to reorganize how these streams are. I think not only to raise it at the start of this meeting is not to, obviously not to ignore it can't be ignored, but also potentially it has a place for the commission at the state of the city to speak to the issue and maybe speed up that actual presentation at council, and not typically in April, but maybe sooner. And so there's a nexus there that I think, starting with this, I think it's just more human. We can go through our kind of logistics and other stuff that matters to run tight, clean hearings and all that good stuff that we set up on the agenda, but plant that seed that's we can't be tone deaf anytime we're in front of council, even the exiting council. So.
And just to share, Landmarks is preparing to fold something into their state of the city as well.
Now, Tim, is this the second or the third big layoff that has occurred in your department? It seems like there was one that happened several years ago.
Yeah, we had a shorter one in 2018, right? Yeah. Stacey, the one that was particularly impactful was in 2009. And that was very much tied to that economic cycle. So we do feel like we're in the same position again for different reasons. But economics, but Portland, you know, reputation and such, interest rates and material costs.
And we are getting wind that it might not, there might be more. Things aren't getting better. There might be more layoffs in the next several months if things don't.
Yeah, I just remember several layers of what I thought. I mean, there used to be a lot of people at these retreats.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be sober, too, though, because I went to this Governor Kotek's Central City Task Force presentation on Monday, and revenues in general fund across all departments and bureaus in the city for the next few years look pretty daunting.
Yep.
So maybe that prods us to kind of refocus and be creative about state of the city and how can we adapt ourselves to that and be a better service or something. I don't know.
Good. I think what I'd like to do is kind of circle back to this towards the end as we wrap up and we get through our flow, but certainly insert it as appropriate.
Yeah.
Excellent. Welcome, Commissioner.
Yay, thank you.
Would you like to introduce yourself onto the audio record? Awesome. Welcome, Chandra. Tanya?
I'm Tanya Paglia, City Planner.
And did you bring?
Giovanna, Nutcracker, Dancing Girl, several hours.
Welcome.
The Performance Center, if anybody wants to come over.
Nice.
So she's joining us.
Awesome. Well, welcome. Well, there is cheesecake and oranges and tea and whatever else your mom will let you have over at that table right there.
Give you some energy for your performance. Yeah.
Okay, good. Perfect timing. Thank you for that, Tanya. This is the big thing. This is what you see in front of you. I am going to be the timekeeper. I will help us keep clean, but I will just admit there are a couple things stacked at the end that are light and quick for the obvious reasons they're not as critical. So if we get good going on a good topic, I'll work on the time and try and help us move forward. So, I think the biggest chunk, and after this chunk, we'll just take a quick break. We're moving well already, but I put these both up, both not to read the one on the right, but this is a reference to this document. And the other is just kind of a reference to putting it out there, and I think this is where I'd want commission discussion, especially Don, Commissioner Don, it's good to see you. Word on the street, how are we doing, how is Portland? I think these kinds of topics set up our state of the city and what we're doing. I know there's a relation within this to the the housing regulatory relief project that Stacy could also speak to, but also kind of going through the cases that we have and any highlights. So I guess I think on this one I was thinking about 20 minutes, maybe another 20 minutes to kind of talk it through. I think we did a really good job this year setting up some examples of good ways to protect storefronts but not shutter them down. And we did a really good job at our State of the City in March earlier this year and for council. That was a flurry of January, February, bam, right in front of council. We did a really good job. Council agreed a lot with, yes, we should secure storefronts, and that works. You can do it on the outside, you can do it on the inside, but if you're going to do it, there's ways to do it right. And big parts of that conversation were transparency and light at the downtown at night, and not to shutter it down. So I guess I'm going to put that on the table for open discussion and anyone's thoughts or feedback or what you're seeing or feeling relative to our role and how we help that work.
It seems like we were going to try to put together a little best practices thing on the better ways to do storefront security. We didn't quite get around to that, I don't think.
Well, I know, Ben, do you want to speak to a little bit of our little pamphlet?
EDS staff put together a handout that we've been giving to folks around the city talking about storefront best practices.
Did I miss that?
I don't know that we've taken it to the design commission.
We ran with the work we did at the state, and then Oric just worked internally to try and dial in. It was very organic.
It was often like, we need this right now, so
right.
Get what we need put together.
I would love to see it just in terms of what's coming up with HRR, just to be aware of it.
Yeah, and Ben, did we finalize it? I think, did we put a letterhead on it finally? Because we had a couple draft docs because they were asked quick.
Yeah, this was in July, end of July, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it's available on the city website.
I think that's what we didn't do yet.
Right.
It is a document that we've been distributing and that folks in the emergency management office have been distributing.
Okay.
Is that the right office?
If you show it to us, does it have to be shown to everybody? Is that
no? There's nothing secret about it. I think it's just more we were polishing it and trying to get it publishable.
Okay, I would love to see it.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, and Ben, on that note, if there's a copy of it and Anne hasn't gotten it yet,
she has.
Okay, good. Well, maybe you can send it again, given the emails today.
A constant topic of discussion.
Yes.
I just walked by, what's the big new swanky tower on the north side of Director Park, you know, that was a hole in the ground for 5 years?
Park
the Ritz?
Yeah.
No, Park Avenue West.
I mean, that's arguably a very high-end building, and they had installed the diamond plate expandable stuff on the inside of the glass there in the storefronts of that building. I was like,
Was that the Pendleton?
Yeah, Pendleton.
Yeah. They've been just suffering a lot. Yeah.
Broken glass. So.
Yeah. So it's break a window and get inside and theft.
Right.
What?
Well, they used to just lock the whole thing, and you had to ring or something, and they were during the day, and they would unlock it. So.
Okay.
And it just demonstrates to you when you have a public open space that is isolated, there's no activity to it, how much the adjacent commercial areas suffer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
That was definitely avoidable.
What sort of authority is there on existing security measures and or retrofits around security measures, which is probably 99% of what gets put in versus something on day one based on the tenants?
When you say authority, you mean like review or?
Yeah. Well, who's controlling what gets put in and what doesn't versus a permit coming through for a tenant improvement? You know, there's nothing about security on there. They get broken into the first time, and then they hire someone to go install some security on the windows.
A lot of it's just being put in.
Yeah.
I think the council passed some kind of resolution or something.
They did, and that has expired. That was part of the emergency ordinance. Right now, HRR has an exemption for security gates,
right?
That's going to be permanent for design review, and I'm about to process for 900 properties a swath of requirements for security gates.
Can you say that again? For some reason, the system is noisy.
So right now, if you're in a design overlay or historic, it requires review. Even though a lot of them have been done without review, just because they need to secure their property. There is going to be an exemption for them in design overlay coming in March. They can do it as long as they're 50% open work, and that's it. And until that happens, I'm processing a review for about 900 properties to install them with some specific guidance.
900?
Yeah, which is going to come directly from the document that that Ben worked on. With criteria, they need to match the building color, or they need to be 70% open work. It's just going to set some parameters so that they could get whatever security gates they want, so long as it meets these parameters. We're not going to review them individually.
And so is there, if they don't do that, is there a fine? Is it, what's the...
Well, the Bureau's code enforcement, it's call-in-based, so if someone, like, did not want to do it that way, they would trigger design review, and then we'd have that conversation, or historic review.
No one's really turning anyone in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and politically, nobody's going to put pressure on them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand the authority or the mechanism to actually enact what we're trying to get enacted, which is hospitable security.
Right, yeah.
that sounds like it's loose at best.
Let's say, now that you said that out loud, Stacey, I might connect the dots with a little email that I engaged and brought Ben in with Anne, and just to understand the timing of when that might be. And
it just came in yesterday.
Okay, good. Okay, I thought it was fresh. Okay, yeah. Good. Okay, well, just FYI.
Yeah, we can check tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, Tim, can't this come under the big umbrella of best practices? So you know, we've got ground floor residential and how to treat that, balconies and a bunch of other stuff. It seems like this would be part of that also.
Yep.
These are acceptable ways to handle it.
Yep.
Do it. You don't have to go through design review.
And that's
accepted.
That's kind of what that document that we produced is all about. Even though
best practices type thing?
Yeah, yeah. Even though design review is currently required, the intent was to say, do these things and you'll have smooth sailing through the design review process and hopefully through permitting too.
Yeah.
This group can't control permitting, but you know, we can control the control.
Yeah, but you know, the best practices, I always thought was a good way to go for a lot of this stuff.
Yep. Well, and I think maybe that's something where I think so that's another topic we could touch on too.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a category you can go online and find different categories, and this is the best way to do it, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of resources online about it, honestly.
No. Okay.
New York City actually has one of the better guides that we found, and they've had that for about 10 or 15 years.
Yep.
It helped inspire EDS put together. And basically, I mean, our document's not that complicated. It's focusing on trying to maintain some level of transparency so that you still get the sense that you have open buildings at night or even during the day, light coming in and out of the spaces, and then making sure that, you know, these things are as integrated as you can make them. The scissor gates example, they're never going to be pretty. They work and they do allow for that transmission between inside and outside, which is really important.
They're the least expensive way to go.
They are.
This is something that can be folded into, I don't think Joe and Tina, you guys weren't aware of it, but there's a document that a previous commission put out called the Guide to Design Review, and it has some best practices kind of statements in there. And I had this idea a year ago. God, I'd love to expand that and have a more visual menu of ways to do things, like our new citywide design guidelines have. This guideline may be accomplished by, and has great graphics. So that's a thing that I was willing to jump on and take on, and maybe we see how that goes before we broach the subject of eventually revising the Central City Design Guidelines, which is 28 guidelines now to try to get that. There may not be the appetite to tackle that right now in light of everything that's going on, but the Guide to Design Review could be a nice compact document that gets some traction.
Yep.
And what, you know, that could be a piece of that.
Absolutely.
So
I have a couple more questions. Sorry. Is this a design guideline for a design overlay zone currently?
What, security or something?
Yeah. Is it a topic that's even addressed?
Well, no, but it is inadvertently. I mean, not inadvertently, but not specifically. It's addressed with transparency, active ground floors, safe pedestrian environments. So we have all the tools we have
now. And I get that, but I guess what I'm saying is that an applicant comes in with a type 3. They have a beautiful storefront all the way around. You know, it gets through land use, no problem. They build the building that way. They start leasing out the tenant spaces at the ground floor. The tenants are then putting in whatever security measures they want as part of that. And is the tenant improvement permit looking at this and sending it back to design review or to land use to take a look at what's getting put in on those storefronts?
Yes, they should be.
Yeah, they would be. Yep. It's still a trigger.
Because they were interior, we don't review interiors.
Right. If they were just having those put in, they probably wouldn't even go through a TI process, right?
Yeah.
They
might not get
permits. Yeah. So they wouldn't even be getting permits.
Most of them don't. Yeah.
But this is kind of my question. I don't even know how it would come in front of the city that this has happened. And that's where it's hard to put a guideline to something that isn't actually a stipulation. And so maybe this is a question we need to start asking in our design review hearings, that how are you securing your storefront at night?
Yep.
Is that?
Agreed.
Okay.
One of the topics we'll look at today, Joe, actually is an example of looking ahead at a storefront remodel.
Because I see going through this process and not seeing the city having any sort of daylight as to what's being put in for security. You know, and a clever developer or, you know, building owner or anybody else will go through and do whatever they want and avoid it if there's a way to not trigger a permit.
Or if we ask it proactively and build in the details that allow it to happen in a thoughtful, well-designed way. Yeah.
Sorry, that's
spot that's on.
Only comments.
Too many. Say hi.
Oh, nice. we have another new commissioner showed up and another member of the staff. I love it. Megan, could you introduce yourself for the audio record?
Megan Sita Walker, design team.
Good to see you. And Commissioner Emeritus, welcome. Who invited you? Do you want to introduce? Who?
I heard you guys were having this meeting. I thought I'd come and
crash it
and create some problems.
Do you want to introduce yourself for the audio record?
Yeah, I'm Tim Eddy. Is that enough?
That's perfect. You don't need to say any more. Tim, there's some paper in front of you. We're just starting at the top of the agenda. We're reviewing what's going on downtown, what we've been doing, how to help fortify it for some. And then we're also looking at, just in general, our less than busier workload, which is, I guess, why this will be a shorter retreat anyway. So I'm hearing some conversations about how this could inform state of the city best practices, or a guide to design review best practices, kind of some amalgam. I'm hearing Ben and the rest of us will get out this form of what we already have about security gates and stuff that BDS has endorsed. We have more very newer information relative to the HRR, relative to security, and maybe with that, Stacy, do you want to hit HRR at all in terms of timing?
Yeah,
sorry, for everyone's benefit, Housing and Regulatory Relief Package, HRR, is a very fast-track project that this commission's seen in a very quick briefing and has now written a letter to the Plain Sustainability Commission early in October.
Yeah.
And now we're looking at a city council session and preparing another letter for January 10th.
Correct. So with that, thank you. Brian has sent me a draft of the letter. We are going through it just for accuracies and things of that nature. And then the plan is to have the commission review this letter and vote on it on the 4th, the hearing on January 4th. It's on the agenda. So the hope would be to get you a draft, I would say, middle of next week, but I haven't checked with Brian if you're around next week.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we'll get you a draft out next week, and then we'll look at it, and then we'll go on it, and I'll put instructions. I'll put instructions in the email about how to send comments.
Do track changes, that'll make it easy to detect.
Commissioners are coming out of the woodwork.
It's like a high school.
It is.
Good to see you. Well, I will introduce Commissioner Emeritus, former chair, Gwen Milius. And Gwen, I'm going to date myself. I think this was when?
2006, when I started?
Yeah, that's it. Welcome.
I started too.
Well, now we have a full complement of Emeriti, or a TUS, or I didn't pass Latin.
Yeah, don't try.
Yeah.
Cool. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
We are kind of at the warm-up of our retreat. We're on audio recording, of course. And then this is more or less where we are in the agenda. And welcome. It's really nice to see you.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, so how is Brian? I'm looking at you as probably master of state of the city authorship. What other thoughts you got?
Could I give just a 30,000 quickie on the Governor Kotek's Central City Task Force thing.
Please.
As you guys know, she formed this task force with the help of heavy help from the Oregon Business Council in August, and then they had three major sessions in the fall, and all geared towards this presentation at the Moda Center last Monday, because it turns out that that's Oregon Business Council's normal thing, is to culminate their whole year's worth of activity in December so they're ready to go to the legislature in January and get on the legislature's agenda, which is what they're going to do with this. So I forwarded, I downloaded, that group split into five subcommittees. I forwarded it to all our current commissioners, but maybe for the sake of emeritus commissioners, we could get that out to you too. And I, like Megan and Tanya, I don't think you were included. Stacey, I didn't dump another load on you at this time. But anyway, the short and the long of it is they backed it up with quite a few surveys and data studies like crime and foot traffic and a lot of that kind of stuff, revenue, taxes. And I think my takeaway from it is it's good stuff. It's on the positive side. I think one thing that I heard loud and clear, and maybe that's a good thing because the backing of the Oregon Business Council, is the business side telling the public side, all your levels of government, from county to city, region, everything, work more closely together. Don't duplicate. Don't let things fall through the crack. Work together to make sure we're covering addiction services, shelter services, crime, policing, all of that stuff, making sure that we're really covering that stuff well. And, you know, Tim Boyle showed up, and he's taken a personal thing on trash, garbage, and graffiti, and going to leave some private sector involvement in that, trying to get... I think Tina chimed in and said she's got a commitment from ODOT to put more money into cleaning up the freeway rights-of-ways, where a heck of a lot of our camping is kind of now been pushed to. So there was really good stuff on that. Livable neighborhoods, community safety. Taxes for services was a big one, and the head of that committee is going to be proposing a three-year moratorium on any new taxes in Portland and Multnomah County, just feeling like the public is getting a perception about taxes are huge, they're high, and what are we getting for it, that kind of thing. So, but do read these PDFs I forwarded to, because it's pretty informative. And then my colleague Nolan was on the value proposition thing, which is more like the optimistic, looking into the future, what can downtown become. And so there was some good stuff in there about office to housing conversions, programming of public spaces, you know, what can we do, both little and small moves, that'll really start to give people a reason, let's go back downtown, you know, there's something going on downtown, and try to get people back. But at the top of the list, out of all those subcommittees, addiction, mental health, and getting people into shelter were the top three by far. From all the surveys, they said there's everything else we do is not going to matter if we don't get
do that.
The people that are just in terrible shape off the streets and into better hands than they are now. So I thought it was positive.
Thanks,
it's really
Ryan.
Good, and I sensed a real. Well, here's one example. I don't know if you guys remember in the summer of 2020 when Ted asked Kate Brown if she could get Oregon State Police to help support police. Portland police when the riots were at their biggest, and the answer was no. I can't remember the reasons now, but Tina Kotek just got a commitment out of Oregon State Police, and they're now pairing up in groups of two, one Portland police officer, one state police officer, and they're reinstituting foot patrols
Walk beats.
On the street.
Yep.
So there's more manpower, there's more police being hired in the last year, so I think, you know, just even sensing police presence out there has got to have some kind of, I think, positive impact as you're strolling around parts of town that seem a little spooky right now. So, anyway, I thought it sounded good. It sounded like there's real recognition of, you know, how things have gotten and what it's going to take to try to turn the corner. And nobody's saying we're going to turn it in 1 year or 2 years. This is getting people to commit for the next decade to start to really get downtown Portland back on its feet. So anyway, I thought it was good.
Very good.
It was a good,
thank you.
Good meeting to hear a heck of a lot of people rolling up their sleeves and jumping in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Any other thoughts on downtown and? Yeah. I think you sent it, Brian. But yeah, we could definitely get it out and about. Yeah, I was anxious to read that report. I just haven't had a chance to read it. But thank you. Yeah, no. Yeah, that's good stuff.
One of the things that is just really sad is that a lot of these agencies 3, 4, 5 years ago will cry out because of lack of funding. And now most of them have a lot, but for some reason they have not been able to spend their money or use their money for whatever purpose. And I mean, today was one about the parks levy. I mean, I keep thinking, why couldn't some of that money be used in activating downtown parks in the time that was so, you know, downtown has been so desperate? Or why couldn't they hire more parks rangers to be in these? We were talking about Pendleton in Director Park. You know, Mark. So I can understand why people are saying no more taxes, because all these tax monies are there and it's not being used as was promised and as fast as it need to be. So I hope that message gets across to all of these agencies to say you need to do something. So
it, you know what's going to be really interesting is we're coming up in how long till the new form of city government takes place?
TikTok, 12 months, yep.
Which is going to involve a strong city manager, and one would hope, if that's the right person, that he can be a real, okay, people, you're not leaving this room until we have an agreement about what we're going to do, you know, and really start to prod things to get done. Don't let them drag on. That's the hope.
That's my hope, too.
12-person council agreeing on something. That's another one.
But the other thing you wonder is why we can't hire a city manager now instead of waiting a year.
I mean, on the positive side, if I understand it, individual city commissioners won't be directly in charge of bureaus anymore.
Right. Okay, that's where the city manager form will come in.
So maybe at that level, a strong city manager can kind of corral the resources and get bureaus, let's do this, let's do that. I don't know.
We'll all have our ear to the ground the next several months, that's for sure.
Well, since it's the new form of government, how long have we had our form of government since Portland was founded?
1918.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to take a while to get it right, probably.
Yep, it is.
But fingers crossed.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to slide us to this last third of this topic, and then we'll take a break. So these sheets, I'm sorry I didn't staple them, but they have pretty pictures on them and quick bios on what the project is. I'm going to walk through on the slides as well. So we have about, I think we picked about 7 projects. They're also titled on this title sheet, and this would be candidates for the Design Excellence Award. We don't have to decide tonight, but it's an opportunity because we have most of the staff in the room that were part of these projects, and these are all projects the Design Commission touched in some form or another and ultimately approved. And so we always look for an excellence candidate towards the end of the year. Last year, you'll remember, we had Alex Yale come and testify at our State of the City address to the council. He received the design, and his firm received the Design Excellence Award for 2022 for Lentz Housing. Great project, particularly its ground floor active uses with residential and retail. Just a great project, great neighborhood, great opportunity. And then the others below, we started this in 2016, so keeping that tradition real, even that we had slim pickings in 2022. So I'm gonna, the projects are, I'll run through them. We listed the OMSI Central City Master Plan. This is a project that Ben worked on. We also were gonna look at, really quickly, again, all of these. I just have three slides on each, so I'll kind of go through them for a refresher and I could come back to them just to poke your memory. Some commissioners were in these hearing rooms, some were not. We've done a really good job this year of having one and done slam dunk hearings. The next was over on off of Northeast Oregon, Northeast 7th and the Lloyd District, right near the Earl Blumenauer Ped Bridge. The Southwest Alderway building is actually a storefront remodel. Commissioner Eddy would be familiar with that. The Hollywood Hub housing project that Holsted, I worked on that at Hollywood Transit Center. The Pearl Block 24 is a project Ben worked on in the Pearl. PSU just completed School of Art and Architecture and Design. It's a Hacker project. I'm sure Commissioner Chandra is familiar. Lever project. Sorry. It's all right. When Adidas did their world campus, I said on the record it was the Nike campus.
Wait a minute. It's Adidas.
Yes. Well, I didn't even get close to that. And then the last we have is the Conway project that Tanya worked on. So let me just do this for you. I'm just going to kind of scroll through three slides each project just so you could kind of get a flavor of it. We all remember OMSI. We saw it a lot. It was a big project, big future, very exciting opportunity. Really good project to consider for something potentially of a design excellence award. The other, and forgive me on this one, I was behind on getting a slideshow for this one. This was, so I don't have other than this picture. This was the Northeast 7th project. Art worked on it. I do recall a swimming pool at the ground level, if that triggers any memories. Sports courts and
art glass looking into
it. Big frontage on a bikeway and basically the front door to the Earl Blumenauer Ped Bridge from Lloyd into Central East Side. The Alder, this was actually a DAR. This came before the commission. It came back as a type 2. Grace did that review. But we had a very, very good conversation about context and an era when someone would want to invest in a fully glazed ground floor storefront in downtown Portland and include security on the inside of the glass.
We talked a lot about shoes.
Yes, some of the best quotables of the year were that case, yes. Hollywood Hub Housing, this is a project I had the pleasure of working on with Holst. I'm showing this because this is where it started in the first DAR. The commission was transformative in applying pressure, not just to bridge housing, but to the federal government and the post office by virtue of their zip code boundaries and how this project, which will be 100% affordable housing. And it wrapped up very nicely as a project.
It's the award for the most extreme makeover. That's unbelievable.
We could start a new category, Commissioner. Yes, that was a very, it was a privilege to work on that project with that team. Pearl Block 24 is a project Ben worked on in the Pearl. Heck of a site. Pretty much, Ben, I think this finished the Pearl,
yeah.
Right?
There may be one vacant lot left.
Okay.
Way so, in the northwest corner.
So notable in that way. Great project, GBD. And the green, was this the green, Don?
Yes. No, the Welby.
The Welby was one.
Yeah.
That was previous year. The one where Don quoted something about if you get it.
Oh yeah, that was a good quotable. This is the yeah. If you get it wrong, it's going to be really bad for the neighborhood. Something like that. School of Art and Design, again, a fantastic project to work on. And this was one that Grace had the opportunity to work on. And this did have some, we had conversations about green on this one. Then last was the Conway Blocks, most recent too. Tanya worked on this one. We had a really good discussion about height. And the 16-foot, I think, Tanya, was that the final call on the mod?
A little over 16 feet.
A little over 16 feet, 16 feet and a few inches above the height limit in the Conway blocks. And this one, with the exception of the park, which hopefully will still happen, this was probably the last Conway development, right, Tony? All built out. So I am going to either, you could look at the pages on in front of you if you want the cheater, but I think what I'll do is I'm going to open this up to a commission, but maybe I'll leave it on this slide. If you want to think a little bit out loud about which project do we want to elevate and maybe why, and this would be obviously about our Design Excellence Award candidate. It would include inviting the firm or the architect of the firm or the developer, the owner, to the State of the City address at City Council, and then probably in some way incorporating why that Excellence Award happened in this particular year as a thread within our State of the City. So I kind of lead it out to commissioners to talk that through, and everyone's here. Art is not here, and he did Northeast 7th, but I think we could all collaborate on that one if we need to fill in any dots.
I'll just make a statement. I did not review all of these, so it's hard for me to say which one may or may not be better than another. But I always think of awards as being signifiers of the times and the context of which we're in and what we want to perpetuate potentially in the future. And so I think looking at affordable housing and looking at the Hollywood Hub and what it did to humanize affordable housing and really maximize it in a challenging site is a notable candidate just from that context and that kind of view standpoint. But again, I didn't review all of these in my half-year tenure here, so I just wanted to put that out there as a general statement on if we're talking about what awards should be going to and what the commission wants to be standing for relative to design excellence coming to us. I think putting up the projects that we're likely to see in the next year and then also the stellar examples of those is a worthwhile thing to do.
Thank you.
No offense to the lever green building and the people.
We talked about Hollywood Hub.
Yes, that was Hollywood.
I would throw in that it's the most robust and true transit-oriented development that Portland's ever done. I've never seen us anywhere in the history of Max Light Rail going back to the 80s where we've done this high a density, this close to a station, 100% walkable, and it's nested within an existing plan district, the Hollywood Plan District, so it's complementing something that's already pretty good. And it also, as you said, it made the most spectacular design recovery of any project I think we've seen from DAR to LUR. It's just, it wasn't even the same project when it came back.
Completely different.
Time. So it just feels like it almost deserves some recognition.
They give us a better rendering. It's kind of a bummer. The rendering is
so, you know, I agree with Joe's statement that whatever we take before State Council should represent the context of the environment. And this is apropos to what Brian reported downtown about the City of Portland, what it needs to be done. There are actually really three projects that are in this 5 or 6 that applies to that. One is, I agree, in terms of housing, that affordable housing, it was done very skillfully. And we were not only, this was the project when it came first, we, in our comments, we didn't stick to guidelines. We really basically challenging them as developers who were using public money to bring something of that nature to us. So that really, I think, rattled them a little bit and went back. But the other two, so to me that makes sense. The other two is, one is a civic building, And I think I consider PSU building, School of Design, as a civic building, which again, we need to encourage things like that in the public realm, in a public realm, not sidewalks public, but whatever the public does, to really aspire to design excellence, and that's a good example. And then the third one is just a smaller project, which relates to downtown, and again, what we talked about, the storefront, how a historic building in a situation where downtown is suffering, a property owner is bold enough to come and make a suggestion like that, put its face in Portland, and would do it with a lot of respect to the historical integrity of the building, but also really achieving excellence. So I think for me, there are these three contexts that it would be hard for me to just choose one because they all respond to a specific situation and realm. And how do we, and maybe we go to council even if we collectively decide there is one the highest, but we need to really focus on those three to show the council that there are good things that are being done both in public sector and private sector and commercial. So that's my question.
Have we ever done that award?
It's your award to award.
Because I'm on the same page. I've got three for different reasons. Art school, Alderway, and Hollywood Hub.
Right.
Because
well,
they are
the
so
right.
emblematic
right.
of what's going on in our city right now.
Right.
Interesting.
I think Alderway exemplifies somebody knowing what great ground floor design means. High transparency, eyes on the street, and clever way that Tim used glass to resolve oddball alignment of pilasters and columns and stuff like that. It's right in the core of our downtown that's such a problem right now. How are we going to get downtown to come back?
Well, it's just like not only symbol, but example of how you save downtown, how you bring it back. Because there are a lot of different buildings downtown that could use help. And I think the council and the public needs to see it.
Yeah, it's like the difference between turning and facing a street or turning around and putting a Kevlar jacket on or something like that. I'm like hiding from the public realm. This is not hiding from the public realm. It's really embracing the public realm. It's a great project.
Well, you know, that's my old office.
What are you doing to
clear a place?
As I understand, my old office was just that little shape on the top. The old penthouse. Is it going to become common space now?
It's hard to tell.
Jeez.
It really is hard to tell when it's a tough leasing market.
Yeah. Pretty interesting to see this whole dog kind of being rehab, but it certainly needed it. That intervention that was done in the 80s, I think, by another firm was pretty disastrous.
You know, somebody, I think,
just not a whole lot of glass.
Somebody had noble intentions when they did that, but they didn't stand back across the street and look at the whole building. It was like they looked at the first
look how small
15
those
feet
are,
and got kind of down to that.
Much taller.
Yeah, it's just...
But I also think that the Portland State Building is really a pretty nice piece of architecture, and it also relates to the public in really good ways. I recall they're going to open some of that up on the ground floor and have open workshops and all the rest of it, and hey, that's really good for the park walks, and it's good for the city, so...
Right, it's one of those buildings that its face, its urban face, is fabulous, and it's
Yeah.
Open space and
right.
public.
And
public
it's also
parks.
Offering something to the public, i.e.,
right.
accessibility,
right.
which
right.
we don't see very often.
Everything we're
so
hearing.
That's significant for me.
Right.
And then I guess the other one that I think is hard to turn down is everybody's mentioned is the hub in Hollywood. That's really a nice piece of architecture, as well as the whole public domain was handled extraordinarily well, I think. You know,
this
it,
to
it,
me
it offers stuff to the public as well as the tenants and does a nice separation of those two groups. So
this to me is
those are the two I'd recommend.
Such a strong response to context. It's the what is it, the very last block of the campus.
Mm-hmm.
It's right near the very end of the park blocks. It's where kind of the town gown, kind of campus and downtown kind of come together. And the massing and the courtyard and where the galleries are and the art spaces are is just so incredibly well thought out. It's just a jewel. It's an absolute, and so much of what we're hearing coming out of these downtown committees now is we need to amp up our cultural offerings to get people interested in coming back downtown. And this is right in the hit zone of that.
Yeah, I think it'd be a mistake not to recognize this building
yeah.
and what it's doing
yeah.
for the park blocks as well as the whole city. So, the idea of doing two buildings is, I think, not such a bad one. Why not, you know? Why do I always have to do just one?
Because awards are one person wins.
Yeah.
But I would be willing to stretch it out if we thought about it in terms of, like, hey, Portland's going through tough times. These are three remarkable projects that are
sure.
doing something really
yeah.
cool for the city.
Yeah.
But not like, you both win.
No, I like Barry's idea of a civic building, housing, of course, and then downtown,
commercial
a renovation,
downtown.
Commercial
yeah.
renovation.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Maybe the state of the city is structured. Those are the three pillars
right.
of what the state of the city pulls on. These are things
yeah.
that we worked on this year, and here's why they matter. And this way, and this way, and this way. And then we could have a cage match over the one of the one
we
of
want
the
to
three.
Demonstrate to city council that the work that we do is relevant to what they care about
yep.
and what they're worried about. And so by demonstrating these things, this is how we make a case for admonishing them for doing something wrong. So.
Well, you know, whatever you elect to do, the idea that it's not only three different types of, or two or three or four, or whatever you elect to do, of programmatic types of buildings. The city is not one type of city.
Right.
So Hollywood and transit-oriented development
mm-hmm.
in it's a very different context than PSU, for example, from downtown, from OMSI, and PSU is a campus. It's an urban campus, but it's still a campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's three different. Or four different worlds. I mean, all the projects you went through almost, they're all in very, very different contexts.
Well, I was going to mention, if we're going to start categorizing everything, why are we throwing out the master plans with everything else?
That's why you were smiling.
You know, I think all of the projects up there are good. It's just that these three are sort of emblematic of what we're needing to address and also, two of them are Central City and one is outside of Central City. If we were all three in Central City, that would look a little biased, but recognizing the hub,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the outline plan districts, I think that helps balance it a little bit.
Well, maybe one thought is, so that I love where this is going. I think that right on the other side of a quick 5-minute break, we were gonna kind of drill into what how could we craft that and create that? So if we want to do a pause,
sure.
take a little 5-minute,
sure.
and then we could kind of come right back. Let everyone sink that in a little bit, and we could come back and maybe flesh that out a little bit more, look at a timeline, and start to construct that. Okay. All right, 5 minutes. Don't be late on the record. I'll just go over what would be nice to touch on before we leave, and then we could decide how to use that time. One of them is the state of city, which we really started to lean right into, which is fantastic, I think, and we could just pick up with that now that we had a little moment. I think that through, I could talk about the timeline. The bylaws are something that, to be honest, they're not broken. It was really more, when I had sent out the email to you all, it's really kind of it's the 101 of Design Commission and the chambers and what we do and how we do it. We don't necessarily have any updates. There's a thought of an update relative to writing letters and stuff that we came up with towards the end of this year, but it's not ripe to add, and we could touch on it at any time during the years, but it is something that's important to review. Design Commission recruitment, I definitely want to talk about that for a little bit. We should touch on the election officers, and then just next steps. So I think that's reasonable. We could wrap all of that in about 30 minutes. So I think what I'll do then is, I guess, state of the city. So let's pick up where we left off. Commissioners, after a break, after a photo, what are you thinking? Or can we just brainstorm that out a little bit? I think, and then we could move forward on a work session in January about how we want to do that. I think, curiously enough, just like last year, the sooner we could get in front of council, the better to talk. There's an issue with the Bureau of Development Services in terms of budgeting and how it's financed and how it impacts the work that we do. There's impacts related to new regulations coming down the line that are stripping a lot of design review authority out of the conversation to streamline housing. And that can come at cost, which we're actively talking about with our future presentation and testimony before City Council on January 10th. And that's a letter that you all are working on. That's not a state of the city, you know, testimony focus, but perhaps that letter and that testimony is steps into what the next thing may be. So for instance, maybe as early as February, we put together a presentation. The reality check is anything that we publish or produce or get to council short of just testimony on an item already there is about a 1 month lead time, meaning what we want to say or what we want to address the council needs to be prepared about a month before we actually secure that conversation. So we also like to coordinate that with the Historic Landmarks Commission, and they just had their retreat on December 4th, and to which we're informed about relative to the finance budgeting. They also have their own topics to talk about, but there is a synergy that we could work on together with the chair of the Landmarks Commission and the Landmarks Commission to kind of sync up some of our messaging and then ideally go back to back in council chambers. So that date's to be determined. What I put here is really more of a typical fast track to a potential March. If we want to move that forward, we really got to hit the ground running in January and kind of walk out of this room today with an idea of what the state of the city is going to be, how we want to say, how we want to present it. If we're presenting an award, we want to coordinate with that recipient and ideally get them in the room to talk about their project or projects if we go that route. I'll put that out there.
Again, Historic Landmarks will do their own state of the city right around.
Well, we could sync that. And now I'm just kind of putting that out there as part of the conversation. And that's not something we've nailed down yet. We don't have a date. They're just coming right off of their own retreat about a week ago. And that is their intent.
Okay.
They're aware of the budgeting challenges with BDS and what that means when the money doesn't come in and how that impacts staffing and talent and our program and the things that we do. I think we're already, and have already, and always go in front of the council and talk about why design review matters. And if there's one thing that helps a layperson appreciate that, I think, is examples and pictures or images. It's what says 1,000 words. and then explaining that as quickly but also directly as possible. So I guess
I have one thought. I guess I just put out there that because I'm kind of, my mind is in this HRRP and our letter to council. If I always like to look at all the possibilities, but if it doesn't go well in front of council and it's basically thanks very much, but no, we're just going to go with HRRP. That would cause me to think about recalibrating the State of the Union address.
Mm-hmm.
If we come back in and we're beating the drum for ground floor design, everything, and geez, didn't we just tell you guys that we
can't be tone deaf? And yeah, I agree, Brian. I think the 10th is our
It gives. I mean, we can. I think our three pillars is a great kind of basis for a presentation. We just may need to tweak our messaging a little bit so that we're not butting into the wall again when we come back with the State of the City. If we appear like we're not listening to their decision on January 10th. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And just to know, the decision won't be on January 10th. It'll just be public testimony. The decision won't be January 10th. It'll be public testimony. So we probably won't know what their amendments are going to be until January 24th.
You know, my view is a little bit different than yours, Brian. Their decision is political. Ours would be based on solid expertise and knowledge of what works and what doesn't work. And we just have to keep, you know, we're giving them a report. When you look at this report, there are only, of all the projects that we did, there are only three projects that required two meetings.
Right.
All the
That's
rest
a good point.
Were one. So, that speaks to, one, the clarity of the guideline, two, really good staff work, and three, our own attention to what the guidelines are and what makes sense. So we still have to harp on that.
Okay.
That's my view.
I agree. When I said what I said a second ago, I kind of thinking like, I don't want to like give up and say, you know, okay, you've got me, you know. I feel like fighting back against this, but being really creative about how we do it.
Right. This, in their view, is 5 years. Suspending. And if we just give up and work on it, it will be permanent.
Yeah. And as staff has said, if BPS in 5 years is still understaffed and blah, 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 you know, the momentum for them to go back and unwind this temporary stuff to try to get back, they're probably going to throw up their hands and just leave it. Just leave this stuff and it becomes permanent. And then we really screw it up.
Well, I'm gonna try and pull this up so we can look at it in bigger, because I'm like, my goodness. Just to be clear, it's at the bottom of this page where it shows the 7 type 3 land use reviews that we did. And every single one, though we don't have to highlight the stormwater outfall in the South Waterfront District, but we can take credit for it. There was just the Northeast 7th one that took 2 hearings, and there's a big jump in time, and I'm afraid I don't remember why there was a big jump of why they had to return.
Yeah, RAC. Shit.
Well, we don't want to blame, well, never mind. So I guess
it was a public art guideline.
So then that's a nuance that maybe we don't drill into in public, but I guess what I would thank you, Zeri, for looking at the numbers a little bit, but perhaps there's a message within one hearing. We're a machine. Like, staff is the machine that helps make this work. And when we hit some hurdles for big projects, which the 777 was, they need the return, and we were done in two.
And I think we were actually lucky this year. In my view, most of the design team, majority of them, were pretty seasoned and well familiar with Portland design guidelines. So they knew. They would come first, you know, pushing the envelope a little bit, but then, so that helped.
Well, and one thought, and I think to riff on that a little bit, is one thing we also, all of these projects did, was they did a DAR first.
Right. So I think we should put our presentation in the context of, look at this, we had only this many review, and we didn't have any, even type 2s didn't come back to us. Because we did DAR and we communicated what would make the project better, and they all got it done with one.
And there were no appeals to city council.
And no appeals to city council. I mean, that's a story well worth sharing.
I mean, we could even pull some recall on when they were appealed to city council, how challenged city council was by getting an appeal.
Right. So again, we have an opportunity here in light of the fact that chief of staff of one of the commissioners wants to totally eliminate type 3 design review, that the problem that they hear from developers and all of that, it's not necessarily with design review. There may be a problem, big problem, but it's not here. So
there's one commissioner wants to get rid of design review permanently, is that?
Affordable housing without any DAR.
Affordable, yeah.
Yeah, that's from the governor on down. I mean, we're all attentive to, you know, Governor Kotek's intent to streamline housing, which we need, and that makes sense. You know, I think how we get there and what we sacrifice along the way has always been a concern for us.
Well, the permitting process is the most difficult part. I mean, you know, it went from 3 months to 4 months to 6 months to a year to get a project through, and through the people at the code. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's not design review.
I know.
It's PBOT.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
BDS.
I mean, we permit review on the art museum. Now, admittedly, this is a super complex project. It was 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, we've gone through the TIs and got caught up in PBOT, and it took 2 years to get a TI permit on a couple projects. You know, so it's not design review, isn't it? Isn't the hassle? Is it the problem? So
right. It feels like there's an educational program that needs to be delivered to the neighborhoods and the citizenry, if you will. And as far as that goes, the development community, that design review is really your friend, because if you are going to build a quality project that, you know, you're a developer, you're going to do a great project, you're going to design it, you're going to thoughtful about it, you don't want to have a far less thoughtful, far less considerate project next door, right?
Right.
Lowered your value. So I think it becomes a question of, you know, at a certain point, if you took it away entirely, that pretty quickly, I think we get some pretty lowest common denominator work, typically in materials.
I think that's part of the messaging commission's been putting together, Tim, with the reduction of ground floor active uses and how that ripple affects throughout. And so, yeah, very similar.
That's one where it's actually a little tougher than the design review process,
right.
Because you know, spaces, in order to build it, you've got to have an economic return on it. And so, you know, requiring the construction of empty space that you're not going to be able to lease is tough. So finding some sort of middle ground, and, you know, the old middle ground used to be the live-work units. That's what we always saw as the middle ground, and we sort of hated it but approved it, right? But I think there needs to be some sort of middle ground for the development community to go, well, you know, you got these people here who are just totally unrealistic, and they're going to try to cram a bunch of empty space that I have to build that's just going to sit empty, or I have to give it away down my throat.
Yeah, and I think, Tim, what we could do is definitely, we could forward you the latest draft of the letter, and it strikes right at that moment, just finding that middle ground and flexible spaces, not getting caught up in just retail only or just office only. Residential is perfectly fine, but it's about depth, height, flexibility.
Well, you know, in terms of how the city feels and how leasable those residential units on the ground floor.
Right.
And I had this conversation, is the finished floor of them needs to be about 4 feet above grade for it to feel separated enough from the public way.
Well,
that they.
Yeah, my screensaver for the last few months across the street. Is not what we want, but we know that's not what we want. So how do we get the most flexible potential?
So
do we focus this letter? I mean, with the assumption that most of HRR is going to go through untouched, and to your point, not coming back and being combative about it, but really taking the attitude of this is happening, and we're supportive of housing. How do we make ground floor residential the best ground floor residential that we can possibly do? And these are the things that we're going to do as a commission to try to do that and move that forward within this 5-year moratorium.
Yeah.
Let me try out just a train of random thoughts here. City code's the foundation for the quality of development in our design zones. That's kind of the foundational level, our code. BPS writes that code, trying to anticipate all the design challenges that buildings are going to need to respond to. Design commission is actually where the rubber meets the road. We actually, with actual buildings and actual sites, rather than code, is just sort of, you know, it's general, it's generic. And through our discretionary powers that you, City Council, grant us, we can give a degree of leniency in how the code is applied to that particular building and that particular site, and still, you know, achieve the quality that we all aspire to. So I'm trying to find a way to work a message in there that there is code, but we're the guys who actually see how the code applies. We're at the front of the ship, where we get to see us and our BDS colleagues get to see how does this building have to respond to the code and the guidelines? And so we're the ones, and that's the reason for giving us some discretionary powers, is sometimes, well, maybe you don't meet that numerically, or what's the right word? You don't meet the exact
standards.
Letter of that code, but the intent for the overall quality is there, and we can grant approval. This is really awkward, good language yet, but that thought that threads through there that, you know, and it actually relates back to HRR, because, again, it's abstracting from real buildings, real sites, and real streets. It's just, let's do this blanket code revision without thinking through how's that actually going to apply on 4th Avenue or 3rd Avenue or one of these other streets downtown where it's absolutely scary to be. In broad daylight. I'm just trying to find a message that we could weave into our thought process here that underscores the importance of design commission and design review, because we are the ones who take the toolbox and actually use it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the things that we also, I mean, I'm always thinking in terms of politics because I dealt with it so long. We also need to remember that the five who are sitting there, three of them would be running for mayor.
Yeah.
One perhaps for being another member of the council. And out of those three that are running for mayor, only one will perhaps succeed. And so they are not going to be concerned about for the next year what we are seeing, because the decisions that they're going to be making have been already made. So we need to use this opportunity presentation. A lot of people watch it to really make sure that people out there who pay attention to what council does are learning something. So we talk to these five people about the three tenets. We show them, demonstrate what it means, what is a good one or what is a bad one. We should go through that very, very quickly, very quickly. And really focus on things that we think are important for the city, for the development, to continue to do. What made our city exceptional for such a long time, and how can we do it? How can we do it better and easier and faster? And you know, by just demonstrating these, showing these numbers, we can demonstrate that we've learned, you know, we've done that. And still we can do that more, but that doesn't mean you compromise on the principle. So how? I really think this is a pivotal moment for the city in terms of the council, and it is an inflection point because everything is going to be changing.
Yeah.
And if some of us are still going to be around with the next council next time, and not only the members of the public, but the staff, the bureaus that work on these developments, we need to, and we're volunteers, we're members of public. We don't have any vested interests in this. We need to do the right thing and not budge away from that. I really feel strongly about that, but I hope you all think about that as well.
Those are great points, the politics of this. That's
from a political standpoint, the elected officials hear regularly and hear a lot from the development community, and it's an old tune that has been played for a long time about how hard design review is and how tough it is and all that. And so that just keeps getting repeated, and unfairly so. I think if you had, you know, Mark Edlin or somebody like that at this point, you know, he saw the value. I mean, Tiffany, I think she saw the value. I would say that getting a little bit of support from the process, mm-hmm. from some of the people who had a big hand in building what we see out there today, and have an understanding of the process and aren't intimidated by it, to support it just a little bit.
Right.
Would go a long way, because that's I mean, they're the folks who are financing projects, yep. hiring architects to design them and contractors to build them, and that's who the elected officials, a lot of them, hear a lot from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just think that the narrative needs to be changed on that side of the equation, or...
I agree.
If you know, the commission and the design review section are kind of pushing the string uphill with the elected officials.
You know, another value that design commission brings to development as a whole is that we have all seen it in a lot of our public meetings. Members of the public come to our meetings distraught about things that has nothing to do with our authority. Parking, noise, height, whatever. And if they want to be obstructionists, they will continue to be obstructionists. But having for a development to have the approval of the design commission, which considers the public comments very, very seriously, that should really be an advantage for development. So that's another thing that why a value that design commission brings. We look for public's interest, but in the context of the guidelines. So developers should see us as allies.
Yeah. I think, you know, you have down the list of the development folks here, low-income housing folks, the, you know, the affordable housing folks, the others, and see if you can get some testimony from those folks.
Right.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about Kurt Krieger, who worked with Bridge for doing Hub, had very strong testimony in support of steering that transit project off of a postal zip code boundary, meandered, and opened the door for that project to be what it is now. So that's a thought. I mean, that's something we could feather. Starting, I think that's just a place to start. And maybe that, whether that's an award candidate nexus or it's part of a three pillars of how this happened. I mean, I had a conversation with PSU. It was right after the art and architecture building. I think we're still high off of that exciting, you know, hearing. They were very happy, and there, it was called the Birmingham originally. It's right on. It's a student housing project that Methune did with one of the first generation of commercial grade vinyl windows. And I did the review. It was like one of my first Type 3s. It was like 2002 or 2003. They're all failed. They had to rip out all the windows. And we just had a conversation about investing in quality and design integrity. And these were the facility people, you know, and the ones doing the work and bidding out the new windows that they have to tear out and throw in a landfill. They're not salvageable. So I guess like maybe there's a thread there. Since we've mentioned a couple projects, a big institution and their investment in architecture and their investment in quality. Kurt Krieger is a very powerful, notable person and the stuff that he does. And he flipped from the DAR to that first DAR was a tough DAR with the Hollywood Hub. That made me pucker. I mean, that was a tough DAR. And they flipped it around, and so did the firm, and the integrity of that firm, and the design of that firm. It's in for permit. You know, I just signed off on it yesterday.
When they walked out of DAR, I was very anxiety-ridden. after that first one because I felt like potentially the outcome could be an appeal to city council. So just basically doing an end run around
that, and that was a project that had the option to do a type 2 design review because it was affordable housing. They specifically chose to do a type 3.
And, so and instead they roll up their sleeves and go to Ron Wyden's office and have his senior staff straighten out this census zip code crazy arbitrary thing running through the middle of the site, freeing up the architect to do a good building. It's like, wow, it's almost dizzying.
So I love this conversation. I would be happy to continue this conversation after we close off for the day, but I guess I just want to do a check-in on time and be I said I'd be the timekeeper. It's 4:30. I just want to do a quick reality check. I feel like there's some stuff in the air. Stacy has been taking notes for me. I have a lot of stuff in my head. Tanya? Gigi? No, wait a minute. Stacy's been taking notes. I want to hit two things really quick. And then, but on this particular topic for State of the City, I propose on January 4th, when we meet next, we carve a chunk of time as a work session. We'll be reviewing, probably voting on a letter for HRR that goes to council the following week with testimony. Use that as a commission work session to pick up where we left off with this. I'll put some notes together, and I guess, commissioners, as you think through some of this conversation, let's try and keep that fresh, and we can revisit it. And Brian, we could figure out a time to meet again before that if we want to kind of run into that. But I guess I feel momentum towards a State of the City conversation we could pick up on the 4th. Yeah. Does that seem
fair? I wanted to throw something out there also while we got everybody here. I'm feeling an interest in this, picking up this guide to design review again, because I actually remembered making a promise in the State of the City last year. This is something we could tackle, and I never did it. And I just feel like I'd love to kind of get back in that. I'm not going to say it could be ready for the State of the City, but I could report in, hey, we're about halfway done with it.
I think that's,
But I don't think I can tackle that and State of the City, and I'm wondering if somebody else could kind of... somebody else might tackle the... I mean, I'd be willing to help on the State of the City, but kind of writing the storyline.
I'll do it.
Yes.
I haven't done any of them, Brian. You're doing everything all the time, but I'll do it.
No, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. And I'll help in any way possible with images and stuff like that. But
and Brian, I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks in January.
Okay.
So, but I'm happy to assist.
Should you wait till the results of HRR anyway?
We have to do some background stuff.
I think it's one of those things that probably can't completely wait. Get the storyline started, and then based on what happens the 24th, tweak it a little bit if we need to. But I would get started on it sooner than later, so we're kind of well down the road to being ready, because you said the sooner the better.
Yeah, I guess part of it is we're going into holidays and breaks and stuff. I don't want to lose that momentum. And I guess, Jessica, I agree that there's a moment on the 10th of January, and we'll learn more. But at that point, we might not learn as much as we might think. And I think there's a nexus of the HRR, but also this larger conversation that I think developed, at least if we choose these three particular projects to elevate, but or a pair of them, and there's the award thing. I don't want to complicate that, but I do think there's I feel a synergy that we've talked out here enough that I don't want to lose it and momentum, and let's build a little bit extra time on the 4th. So to that end, Commissioner Jessica's term ends in March. Wow. We are actively recruiting.
Did you just do that?
I mean,
it's been a lot of years.
She was a child when she started.
We are actively recruiting, and I might other and then with Sam also's term ending in November, I might otherwise have great fear for the loss of institutional memory, which I do a little bit. if we didn't have such an exceptional pair of commissioners we just brought on, like Commissioner Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
And Commissioner Tina.
Yeah.
So I do believe in the process. However, we send out notices that blast out through the Office of Community and Civic Life that are generic, and we get a wide array of application responses. So I will, in the agenda that I had sent to you, where it says application linked here, is a readily forwardable opportunity for you as commissioners, if you know someone or is interested. I think where we will be lacking, other than Jessica just not being here, and Sam just not being here, is an architect with a particular eye to the public realm and the details. And then a developer with a particular eye to the reality of the balance of development and design review. Sam's brought many projects through the design review process, and Jessica has both your memory, just the time you've spent. I'm not even going to add up the hours, but you all would be particularly articulate in explaining why it helps and it works, and how we can make it work, and how supportive staff is. How we make it easy as possible to be a volunteer on the commission. So I am reaching out to you for that. On the short term is a very quick turnaround. If we want to move by mid-March when Jessica's term ends, and I was so happy to see Gwen, because she was of an era where we were able to make 8 years be 10 years. We don't do that anymore. My point is, we'll be interviewing commissioners by the end of January. And I know this is a horrible time to ask that kind of a push, but that's what it is. If we don't find the right person, we'll just have a vacancy and we'll have six commissioners. But again, Sam's term ends in November. So there's an opportunity to pitch to a potential candidate that if you're not ready by March 15th, we're still looking for other candidates. Get your application in, and we could talk about when later. So I just know that, and you all would be the best commissioners to articulate what it is and why what it feels like to participate. So I'm gonna. That's my plug.
A commissioner that sort of would need to have development background. Does that person need to a designer?
Not necessarily.
You know, when I think about Sam's development expertise, because he was directly involved in development feasibility, we even lost a related era, arena of that with Julie, because she had a lot of expertise on the putting together the how people put together funding for affordable housing projects. Yeah. So two of them combined is kind of a whole. Joe, I don't have a full knowledge of how much on the development side that you're getting involved in, but yeah, I think the commission needs to have pretty strongly development feasibility represented. Yep. You know?
That's my sense.
Yeah.
There will never be another Jessica, there will never be another Sam.
Yeah.
But just like when Julie and Commissioner Don left.
Still reeling.
He's still reeling. Departure.
We now have Commissioner Joe.
You're the one talking about flashing, right?
No, that's Joe.
And window reflections.
That's right, 11%.
Yeah, 11%, baby.
Okay. Got it.
Oh, no.
So that's my pitch. Thank you. If I am available to talk to anyone that's nervous about hitting send on the application form, the application forms, they feel generic, like you're applying for any city job. That's by design, but not because they can't reach out to me or any of our staff if they wanted to or had a connection to anyone like Grace or Ben or Stacy or Hillary or Megan or any staff member. They could articulate that because they know what it's like to be and work with you. So that's my plug. And then bread and butter on the 4th, we will do election of officers. So there's going to be a soul-searching moment for the chair and vice chair, or if there wants to be a secession from Brian or Chandra.
I'm out.
Just think about that, because we will technically vote on that as well on the 4th.
So can we continue the current slate? Is that
yes.
If it's within
yes.
our bylaws?
Correct.
Okay.
So, thank you. We already did the photo. You're all amazing. I ran a little over time. That's all I got. We're adjourned. Thank you.